Americans will live in places with ragweed and high ozone levels. And when my presentation comes up, I'll show you a map of that. We did some analysis of looking at flood zones and populations by flood category. And I'm back. Okay. Sorry about that. So this was the map that NRDC put together showing the intersection of high ozone levels and ragweed concentrations, showing these areas of the country that might be really susceptible to this double whammy of pollens and ozone levels. This was a map using data on high-risk flood areas and looking at the intersection. This was in the St. Louis area. Actually, we produced this right before they had big floods in that area. So we were able to compute using census data in the lower left-hand corner, the population by flood category, so another indication of population vulnerabilities. Just tracking the greenhouse gases per capita by state is another measure that's readily available, data from US EPA that shows California data from 1990 to 2004. The population vulnerabilities is a big area with, there's a lot of different variables such as these. A lot of these are census level variables that are available. You know, we can look at these at the county level. This is two factors that we found looking at heat mortality, elderly living alone. You can also see the deaths that we suffered from the 2006 heat wave in California. And putting together indices such as this is now going down to the census tract level because you really want to monitor this down on a local regional level. This is Alameda County, California, and this is just looking at, again, elderly living alone from the census data. And what we really discovered, though, is we really need to overlay an exposure surface on this. When we did some validation work with ambulance data, it didn't really line up because of, you know, it turned out in Alameda County, this is really the cooler part of the county where these more vulnerable populations living in poverty and elderly living alone were located. There's other measures already out there. This is a nationwide effort that was done at the University of South Carolina looking at a vulnerability to environmental hazards index. So this is put together with, I think, approximately 60 census variables. There's other vulnerabilities we want to look at, populations in coastal areas vulnerable to flooding due to sea level rise. This is an index that was put together for looking at coastal vulnerability index, and we were able to take this this index and then intersect it again with population data for a nationwide look. And this shows you now the population vulnerable to sea level rise for the U.S. under a 1 meter scenario, and then looking at the data on the vulnerability for the coastline. So you can see the lot of populations here in California, and then in the Gulf Coast area and the Eastern Seaboard. Going on to health outcome data. How am I doing on time, Tony? Another 5 more minutes. Yeah, thank you. So heat-related mortality is not only important to track, but also the excess mortality due to heat. You can these were the locations of heat deaths in California from the 2006 heat wave that were located mostly in the Central Valley. When you start looking at the morbidity picture, things change, and morbidity hasn't really been looked at that much due to heat waves. So we can look at emergency room visits, hospitalizations. Also, we could be looking at either increases or reductions to cold weather events, depending on location. This is data that we published in Environmental Health Perspectives with the Natural Resources Defense Council. So this is data on emergency room visits for heat-related conditions. And you can see that the central coast of California, this is a rate ratio comparing the heat period to a reference period. They actually had a rate ratio of 23, so the excess hospitalizations due to the heat event actually occurred in the cooler areas, probably due to a lack of acclimatization and lack of air conditioning. Vector-borne disease is another area we're interested in developing indicators on. These are three of the conditions, at least, we're most concerned with spreading here in California. That's West Nile, Lyme, and hantavirus. But there's concerns about other conditions, such as dengue fever here in the San Diego area, for example. It's occurring at other places across the U.S.-Mexico border. And there's data available on these already. This is data available from ARBONET, from CDC. This is showing the number of cumulative cases for West Nile virus. And Lyme disease is mostly a northeast phenomenon at this point. Also, food and waterborne disease is important, toxic algae blooms, and then also looking at melanoma rates. Mitigation indicators, use of renewables, energy efficiencies, vehicle miles traveled is another measure that could be tracked. There's a lot of data on that available. Going through these quickly, but just showing, you know, this is what you'd expect. This is vehicle miles traveled for New Jersey going up over time. And then this is the last area that we really haven't, gotten data. A lot of this data would have to be obtained through surveys. But this could be, as far as indicators of preparedness, such as access to cooling centers, transportation out of areas to cooling centers, surveys of mitigation plans, early warning systems. And then policy indicators, whether jurisdictions have signed on to certain climate change protocols. And there is some data. This is data showing state and local participation in selected climate change initiatives throughout the country. So I hope that gives you an overview of the type of data we're trying to collect. We would really welcome more input and participation in this work group. We used to have little separate subgroups in each of these different areas, but then we didn't really have the critical mass to continue that, so we're just having like one monthly call and trying to work on this more as a total group. But if you're interested in participating in this, please contact me after the talk. Thank you very much, and I'd be glad to answer any questions. Questions? Yes. Yeah, it's my email is penglish@dhs.ca.gov.
I had a question on whether your indicators are going to get into some economic sort of sweet spots like the food system, because here we are in California where you have so much agriculture and people are starting to think about eating local and food miles and things like that. Are you going to make a targeted approach to deal with that? Regionally, nationally, locally, et cetera.
Well, that could be another mitigation indicator, use of local agriculture. And I don't know anything about where that would be data on that as how to find data on that on different cities or areas of the country that are, what is the percentage of food consumed that comes from local agriculture, or what is the, number of miles, some measure of miles traveled to get to a certain percentage of food to a community. So that would be another interesting indicator, though.
Other questions or comments about the heat? That's certainly one of the most obvious things. Of course, extreme weather events that shocked the nation. Of course, with Katrina and fires that plagued even the San Diego area. But with heat and the aging of the population, we're very concerned, and yet we don't know much about the vulnerability. So it seems like it's going to take a real coordinated effort between the medical community and public health community and the media and quite a few groups, not just with indicator development, but also with social marketing, which is some stuff that Kathy has done, I think, to make people aware that they can affect the outcomes of these heat events and stressful events.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Comments or questions? Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah. Question. Just wondering about the challenge of trying to develop these new indicators and things in a health department that's already financially strapped, facing other challenges. And I'm just wondering what are the hurdles to, trying to expand sort of the surveillance of global warming kind of activities in a state health department?
Oh, so you're not asking specifically about this effort, but you're just asking from a state health department's perspective? Yeah, I mean, we don't have any resources.